It's now time for the Ned and Josh podcast.
Look, this is not my idea of a good time.
All right, strap in. Here we go.
Another day, another Ned and Josh podcast. Welcome in. Happy to be here. Ned, we have a lot to get through today, including your chance to win tickets, a family pass to the National Dinosaur Museum. We could not be more excited about that. That's coming up very, very soon.
Yes.
But I'd like to start off with another Canberra attraction that has caught my attention today because of something that has been in the news, and that is our beloved Questacon. It is on the Canberra Monopoly Board. It is there. It is an exciting feature of our nation's capital. It also is going to have a brand new exhibit, including a lot of stuff made by Lego Masters Australia's own Ryan Brickman McNaught.
The Brickman.
The Brickman.
The Brickman.
He's brought a bunch of different exhibits here for this thing that's going to be happening. It is called Curiosity, Building Breakthroughs in Lego Bricks. It opens very soon. But the starring attraction is a 7.5 meter tall NASA spaceship made entirely out of Lego.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
They're like, look, we can only get half of it done in Lego. Who cares?
The other half of it's going to be a real spaceship.
Yeah. The other part's metal and wires and stuff.
Now, look, I'm certainly, and it's questionable now with where I want to take this, that I've mentioned the Brickman and I've given him his full name as well, because I'm certainly not suggesting that what I'm about to say is what's actually happened. I have no reason to believe that this isn't fully made of Lego. But every time I see something this big made out of Lego, I think to myself, the outside of that's made out of Lego.
Oh, you think it's hollow?
I think it's hollow inside. Or it's wrapped around like a concrete structure. They've just gone around, or maybe like a foil, like, you know, like wires are inside of it.
Yeah.
And the exoskeleton is Lego.
Yeah.
Everything else is not.
Would that make it less impressive? Because the most impressive part's the outside. You can fill the inside with, like, even if it wasn't cement or concrete or whatever, you can just fill it with like miscellaneous blocks. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
The thing that used to captivate me as a kid is that whole thing's made out of Lego. Yeah. But if it's not, and just the outside of it's made out of Lego, surely a bit of the shine goes off it, doesn't it?
I actually think that I've read somewhere they have to make them entirely out of Lego, otherwise they collapse in on themselves. Like, you make the, because I've seen a Mario, like a full, life size Mario, and they showed the process of making him, and it's like, no, his legs are, because like if you make it, it's like a house. If you make a house that's just the outside plasters up, it will cave in on itself.
Does the Brickman know that you could 3D print something and make the outside of it look like Lego inside of it would just be solid plastic, and then that would be such an easier way of doing this?
The thing I don't understand about the Brickman is give me a day, I could do that. You're just building Legos.
What?
Like, everyone can build
you
Legos.
You think you could build a 7.5 meter tall spaceship out of Lego?
Yeah.
Easy.
In 6 months, it's building Lego. It's just on a bigger scale.
The reason...
it's like he's seemingly gotten away with daylight robbery, to be honest, because he's like, I'll be named this thing that, like, we let children do it.
I disagree. You think there's more to it than that? Not be able to build that.
What's the hard part then? The design.
I think so. And I think knowing how to sculpt it and get it, it's like saying I could make it something out of clay just because I know how to use Play-Doh. I don't think it's the same thing.
But I don't understand clay. Lego is as advertised. It's a little brick and brick on brick on brick on brick. And eventually you have a spaceship. Like, I understand Lego because they've made it so that children can understand it.
Okay, so a couple of things here.
I don't understand the properties of clay.
I disagree. I disagree with everything you've just said.
Yeah.
But one thing I am reiterating is that I believe the inside of this spaceship is made out of something other than Lego.
But we're both, at the end of the day, calling the Brickman a scam artist.
We are not saying that.
You are.
I am saying
You're
that-
saying he's deceiving everyone by filling them with cement.
I am merely and politely suggesting that at the end of the exhibition...
Yeah.
Questacon, take a sledgehammer to it to prove to me that the inside of it's Lego.
Tear apart this
spaceship
in front of us.
Brick by brick. Well, this is going to be incredibly self-indulgent, but it will be specific to a whole bunch of people, so I'm just going to go for it on the podcast. We do have quite a few people that used to listen to our radio show that we would do in Western Australia. They listen to the podcast now, which is very exciting, and we're happy to have them here. It's lovely to reconnect. I am furious today because Jetstar have just announced that they will be doing direct flights from Sydney to Busselton. Now,
that's where we used to live.
Yes, that is where we used to live. This increases their service that they're already running, which already had me furious. That's from Melbourne to Busselton.
Yeah.
Now, the reason for this, if you are not familiar with that area at all is we used to live in a town called Bunbury, and you used to have to drive 2 hours up the Kwinana Freeway to get to Perth to fly anywhere. Mm-hmm. So before you even got to the airport, there was a 2 hour drive that was involved. And if you didn't want to do the 2 hour drive, there was a 3 hour train, a $900 taxi. There was a lot of options. None of them good.
Not one of them good.
There's, in the time since we've left, as two boys who moved over there and lived from the East Coast to Perth, so we wanted to get back over to the East Coast quite regularly, we lived over in Bunbury. They have literally started flights from like 15 minutes away from where we live.
Yeah, Busselton's the town over. It's like the beachy, the more beachy town. It's got the longest boardwalk on the southern hemisphere.
Yeah, the longest jetty, which jetty. From what I understand is the runway at the airport now. they just land on that jetty. I think this is unequivocal bullshit that this has happened after we left.
Yeah.
The hours I spent on that road driving just to get to the airport, it's not fair that this has happened after we left. I don't know what happens. I don't know what I'm even asking to be done.
Yeah.
But I, at the very least, would like some free flights.
I was going to say, we should get, that's all that we should get. We should get free flights from either Sydney or Melbourne, the destination of your choosing, and you get to fly there and back for free, just to just see
once,
what it was like.
Just once.
And it's only if you've lived there in the last, like, 7 years.
Yeah,
if you missed out by, like, a year, you get to go there and back, maybe twice.
Because from what I understand about the Melbourne to Busselton flight, we did miss out on that by, like, a year.
Yeah,
started a year after we moved to Canberra.
They were very much talking about that being, like, a real thing as we were leaving.
So I'm thinking, and I'm glad you agree with me, free flights for anybody that lived in Bunbury or the Margaret River region between the years of like 2010 to 2017.
So Jetstar's going out of business then.
Potentially. But because the caveat is, and this is important, they have to use it within the next month. And because this is just from when I've decreed this.
Sure.
They have to use it within the next month, and they can't currently live there. Because you could still, you could take advantage of that if you live there now.
Yeah.
You've missed out on anything. The airport's open. That's great. Lucky for you.
Yeah.
But if you moved away from there, but you lived there between 2010 and 17,
you get to come on.
You've definitely driven to Perth just to go to the airport. So you deserve hardship pay for
hardship pay.
Hardship flights.
Yeah.
And you know what? Make one of the airlines that doesn't fly there do it. So you get a Virgin flight too.
I was going to like be like, you know what? This is probably affect some people. We're talking about Bunbury and Busselton. Yeah. We're not even talking about like Kalgoorlie, Esperance, Albany. Like there are so many places in WA this doesn't affect.
I think we're talking
now,
maybe,
now that you put it like that, it only probably will be 30 people.
I think we're talking maybe 75 people max. You and I would be two of them. Now, look, without going into the whole 1%, 99% thing, I can say that we can all agree that there are some things that billionaires and incredibly, incredibly big companies get away with that just normal people do not.
Yeah, I would say most things.
Most things.
Yeah. And the things that are the worst things.
The worst things.
We would never know about them. They would never tell
us. That's what's truly troubling.
That's the scariest part of life.
But what we can say is I've found a story here today that there is just no normal person equivalent to this. What I'm about to tell you about, there is no normal person equivalent.
Sure.
Donald Trump is in a bit of legal trouble over in the States. He's in a lot of different jurisdictions. There's court cases going against him at the moment. But in New York, there's a civil fraud lawsuit underway. Now, he was being told by the court he was either to pay the full $454 million verdict. So pay that out.
Half a billion.
Or post a bond for 120% of the judgment to put it on hold for the appeal. So basically pay us more in the short term while you appeal, and then maybe you don't have to pay anything and we give it all back to you.
Like a deposit.
Yeah. The 120% equated to $545 million, which is, his lawyers had to admit, more than he has at the moment.
Correct.
On hand.
I would imagine.
He has agreed to pay after they have agreed to slash it from $545 million to $175 million. He's had slashed.
Maybe the best sale of all time.
By 68%.
Yeah, this is $400 million
off. I'm going to be real honest here. I'm pretty sure I currently have an outstanding parking fine that's in the hundreds of dollars. Do you reckon I could get that slashed by 68%?
Yeah. Do you think it's the caliber of lawyers or do you think it's the caliber of money?
I have no idea.
Like, do you think
the number that doesn't change there for me, and this is why I always get so confused with this, is 68%.
No, but that's what I'm trying to say to you. Do you think that it's because, like, all right, we're not getting half a billion, but we're still getting $100 million. On paper, that's fine.
To your, I think it's your the money. Equivalent I think like, it's the money.
Exactly. It's like, look, instead of 180 bucks, what about I give you 40?
Yeah.
And they'd be like, no, just 180, please.
68% is still the same number, though.
Yeah.
It shouldn't matter how much money it equates to.
Yeah.
I think if we're talking about fines, bonds, trials, whatever, sure. 68%, if he can get a 68% discount,
yeah.
I should be able to get one on my parking fine.
Okay. just for the record, and I'll put it down on the obvious continuous record that we have on the podcast, you would like to be treated like Donald Trump legally going forward? That's I have you down as that. I'm just double checking it.
Seemingly immunity from everything.
Actually, that's a great point. Yeah. I will put that
it's
down
like
for myself
the
as well.
Code in Grand Theft Auto.
Parents are angry about something, and I think they're angry about it because they missed an opportunity. Similar to the fact I'm mad at, like, well, and you and I, for you it's Harry Potter books, for me it's Pokemon cards. Like, I'm mad at my parents for throwing out all my Pokemon cards because now they're worth a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't mad they were throwing them out in 2001. I was like, yeah, I got heaps, who cares? Now I'm like, that could have paid off a house deposit.
What were we doing?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Similar. I had first run editions of Harry Potter, so
and
same
you get,
thing.
You get mad when you realize, like, you're not mad in the moment because you're like, it's a book, what do I care? Then you realize it's worth $500,000 and you're like, oh, I should have held on to that. That's what I think's happened with these parents. They are filing a $1.5 million lawsuit at in Quebec,
yep,
Canada, because a teacher has been accused. But it's also like, it's true, I think. Accused of selling her students' artwork online. So like, at the end of the day, the photos that, like the pictures that would be taken home to parents, and they'd be like, oh, it's a goat.
Yep.
And it's like, mommy, that's a bus. Okay.
As I
and
mentioned,
then in 2 weeks gets scrunched up and thrown in the bin. She's selling them for like $120.
As I mentioned on yesterday's podcast, I went to the school, like Carrie's boys, their school, and the 8-year-old's artwork, just having a look at some of it, I could legitimately sell that online
That's
as something
I mean.
Pretty exciting, I think.
Yeah. As something pretty exciting.
As something worth a
funny
bit.
Way to put
as
it.
As something worth a bit of coin, I could probably convince somebody of that because some of it is so abstract, but also very, very imaginative with the colors, the use of brush strokes. I could definitely convince someone it's proper full tilt art.
Yeah, exactly. And that's it. It's like art's so subjective that like maybe the mind of a 10-year-old is fascinating to someone else because it's like open something to them. This is one of the parents, a quote, okay, from one of the parents. My daughter loves art, always has been into art. And this year, after everything happened, she said to me, I don't think I'll do art next year. Because I guess
she had her artwork stolen from him. Yeah.
If you like art, get ready for the real world because that's essentially the life of an artist. I made something and it was stolen and I was given no credit. That's being an artist.
Yeah, it does suck.
Especially online.
Yeah. Did you get good exposure though?
No.
Was this worth it to you in that now people know that you do art?
Yeah.
Because that's what a lot of artists get paid in.
Yeah.
Just, other people have seen it now. Good enough.
You know what's funny? I actually think these are all probably devalued now that people have found out they're from children. Someone's probably bought like this $120 one that kind of like looks edgy and like a bit scary and like, oh, what's
Might
this?
Might be something one day.
It's like, oh my God, this is terrifying. And then they've gone online and been like, oh. A 10-year-old drew this?
Well,
and I paid $170 for it?
Former friend of the show and now potentially bacon, lettuce, tomato sandwich, Pigasso, the pig artist.
Oh, yeah.
That was,
do you reckon they ate her?
Her artwork was worth lots of money and people knew it was a pig doing it. So I don't think if people know this as kids, this
I
is
would
like,
pay more money for pig art than I would for kid art.
Really? Would you?
Yep. Pig, then kid, then Sid from Ice Age, his art.
What's Sid? What animal is Sid?
A sloth.
Yeah.
I just need something that
sloth
ended
art.
In Id. No, I needed like pig, kid, Sid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There are some days I really don't like doing this podcast. Today is one of them.
There's some days where I'm, why do I even try? And other days where I'm like, ugh, this is trying for you. Tom Cruise does stuff in his life that I can understand why he'd be banned from a lot of places.
Okay, yeah.
So, like, he's, like, climbing on the side of planes, so Heathrow might be like,
yeah,
stay the hell away.
Need to be in the plane, buddy.
Yeah. And he would be like, well, I'm an actor. And it's like, well, you actually did that, though. So, I mean,
that's crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't imagine Tom Cruise, with all honesty, is allowed to earnestly attend the X Games.
No,
I think they would be like, you know what? We don't trust you to sit in your seat and stay there.
Exactly. Well, I mean, that's the X Games are insane to just jump over the fence.
And I think he would have a go at it.
But you would be like, I think most helicopter rental places would be like, no. No.
Do you reckon Tom Cruise allowed to go to Nitro Circus?
Yes, of course.
I don't reckon
again.
He is. Again. No, I don't reckon he is.
Because that, by the old metrics, he's not allowed to go to Cirque du Soleil either.
He jumped off a cliff on a motorbike. He's not allowed to go to Nitro Circus.
He can drive like a helicopter. They'd be like, we'll let you do this. It'll come back in pieces and you'll be fine. Get the hell out of here.
I reckon Hertz get nervous when Tom Cruise rocks up. Yeah.
But I would imagine the insurance they would give him would be like through the roof. And I think it's almost at a point now where Tom Cruise has to insure himself. Like, if you want to be in this movie, you need to pay the money for it.
Work at Thrifty at the airport. And Tom Cruise is like, I don't want the insurance.
Nah, leave out the insurance. It would be like that the very first prank in the first Jackass movie, where Johnny does it in it, like, puts the rental car in a demolition derby. You'd be like, no.
Yeah, I'm good.
Just who you are and the way you are. No. That's not what I want to talk about. He has been banned from something. It's maybe one of the funniest celebrity stories I've read so far this year. He's banned from buying a specific car. Tom Cruise specifically is banned from buying a car. Would you like to guess what kind of car? It's a brand of car. It's not a specific car. The reason is maybe one of the funniest reasons I've ever heard anyone being banned from something.
I'm not sure. No,
it's a Bugatti. So, like, one of the ones you'd want, probably, like, the Bugatti Veyron is, like, the fastest car ever. So, like,
he's got a need for speed. We understand that.
Well, and that's exactly right. He loves racing and stuff. I kind of want you to try and guess to, like, redeem yourself why he was banned from buying it. Go ahead. Just throw out a guess. The most ridiculous guess you can think of. Promise it won't be as silly as the reason he's been banned.
I'm looking at it again. It's so funny. Is it because... So you're talking silliest reasons?
Silliest. Like he's not crashed it. He's not injured it. He's not been drink driving behind the wheel of a Bugatti. It's something else.
Is it because...
Guess the randomest thing you could.
Is it because he's not taller than the car? Bugatti don't want him to stand next to one.
Yeah. They're like, these cars will look giant and we build them to look sleek. Not bad.
I was trying to think of the silliest, dumbest reason I could.
It's sillier than that.
Oh, no way.
Back in the year 2006, do you remember what Tom Cruise was doing?
Was he jumping on couches and stuff?
He was. Yeah, he was. Yeah. And he was also premiering his brand new movie, Mission Impossible 3.
Probably near on the best Mission Impossible.
Is that the Australian one?
No, that's Mission Impossible 2.
That's right.
Just probably near on
the worst one.
The worst one, if we're being honest.
But it's the most one where you can go like, Sydney? Yeah. Oh my God,
these bad guys drive Ford Falcons. You wouldn't have thought that. And yet somehow you expect it.
So whilst Tom Cruise was promoting Mission Impossible 3, he was going around with his wife, his then wife, Katie Holmes, turned up to a red carpet event, for Mission Impossible 3. Obviously, when you're doing this, you're like, this is America's take on James Bond.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's doll him up. Because James Bond has the allure of being British and like, it's the Bond, James Bond. There's some class
Savile
to
Rose
him.
Savile Row suits and all that.
Exactly. Aston Martin. So they're like, let's do him up. Ethan Hunt, the same way they do up Bond. Put him in a Bugatti Veyron, gets to the red carpet, goes to do the gentlemanly thing and let Katie Holmes out of the car. Can't open the door and fumbles it so hard that Bugatti are like, you don't get a car from here on out. Like, because it was a filmed premiere, worldwide, they watched him, like, try and open the door, and it just wasn't working.
You've done so much brand damage to us as an entity that we don't ever want you associated with our brand again.
So, him attempting to open, because I think the door was locked. I think as he got out, it locked himself. He's still, 20 years later, they don't let him buy Bugattis because of the damage he did to the brand.
You know what I think's funny about that? You might hear that and go, that's the stupidest thing in the world, but the only people who can afford a Bugatti Veyron... Yeah. Are the type of people that, geez, the door's hard to open. They are fickle enough. They're rich enough to be that fickle.
Exactly,
so, right.
Yeah. This might be the difference.
They understand their customers, to be honest.
Oddly enough, and not mentioned why they're banned, Flo Rida and Simon Cowell also banned from buying Bugattis. Have no idea. They don't explain why that is.
Yeah, but Simon Cowell might be the only person that's left a negative review after going in a Bugatti.
Honestly, like, not impressed.
Not really for me. A lot of concerns doing the rounds on the internet at the moment about a phenomenon known as iPhone finger.
Is that the little indent you have on your pinky?
Yeah. Apparently, where you would rest an iPhone on the bridge of your pinky while you're scrolling, apparently, we're all getting essentially a big indent there.
I have those indents anyway.
That's what I was going to say.
I have very knobbly fingers.
And I know that a lot of people listening to this have probably just taken a quick look at their finger, but the finger that you hold the iPhone in the most often as a little iPhone holder is apparently more curved than the one you don't. And on my body, I could say for sure that is actually true. So, my right hand, where I would hold the iPhone, my pinky finger has more of a banana-style curve to it than the left one where I never hold my iPhone. So, Ned's now doing this. He's putting his microphone down for a second. Yep.
Actually, that's a better idea.
Yeah, just put the microphone down. Yep.
Mine isn't, but I also dislocated this finger. So, mine's probably
the non-iPhone finger?
The non-iPhone finger. So, this one's a bit...
It's already a bit crooked.
It's a bit knobbly anyway. But look how knobbly and like... My fingers go...
Knobbly's
like
a great word.
Very thin into a knuckle. Very thin into a knuckle. Very thin into a knuckle. All my
fingers... Delicate fingers.
I have ET-esque fingers, I think.
Piano player fingers.
A pianist fingers.
Yes. Sure.
I was going to say, that's what they're called.
No,
right?
I know that's what they're called. And I'm here to say they probably shouldn't be anymore.
You don't think so?
I don't think we're mature enough as a species to handle a person who plays the piano
as a pianist.
Yeah. I don't think we are mature enough.
What about an ivory tickler? You like that one better or no?
Yeah, I actually do. Because at least then kids aren't just going to laugh straight away.
Because a pianist is like literally like the medical term for someone who plays piano.
The medical term.
Yeah, pianist. The scientific term for a piano player is a pianist.
I don't think it's a scientific or a medical term.
What would you call it?
It's just language.
No, I don't think
so. It's just a word.
I think scientists discovered someone playing a piano one day and they're like, we've got to call this guy a pianist. And then a couple of years later, they're like, oh God, we've doubled up in the most embarrassing way ever. We shouldn't have called that saxophone player a ballist. This seems on purpose at this point.
Oh, dear. So, anyway, the point with the iPhone finger thing is I don't think it actually matters. Because let's be honest, are we ever getting rid of smartphones? Because I don't really know what's going to be replacing them unless there's just a chip in your brain that can just show you what your phone shows you without you actually holding anything. In which case, I don't know how that works.
How do we ever drive?
How do we ever pay attention to anything?
But if everyone has this thing, is that what you're saying? If everyone has this thing, who cares?
That's kind of what I'm saying. But what I'm more saying is if we are giving ourselves a little indent that perfectly holds an iPhone.
Great.
We're probably always going to have them, aren't we?
We're evolving.
Yeah.
This is the next step of evolution.
Our crippling arthritis is the next step in evolution. It's not a good one.
No. And it's quite sad.
It's a painful step to take, but we are taking it.
I'm hoping to undo some of the bad press that I've garnered over my retelling. Also, my joy in how I've been murdering insects.
Yeah. That's flies and moths. Been a common theme.
Yeah, I don't like insects. That makes it way too broad. Yeah. It's just flies and moths so far.
Mm-hmm. You haven't killed a grasshopper.
I've gone to my PR team and they've gone, hey, stop talking about killing things. It's not... Mm. People don't love that.
It's not something that human beings connect with people on.
So, my PR management team have sent me in today to do the podcast and tell this story.
Okay.
I'm going away for a week for Easter. I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Dogs looked after. No worries. Lenny's like taken care of. That's okay.
You don't get flowers for that.
Good.
That's not what the PR team have sent you in here to talk about.
I'd honestly be...
I'm not letting my dog fend for himself for a week and a half.
I'd be sad if I got flowers for that. I'm like, God, this counts as an accomplishment
for me.
That's
not what it is. Good. Okay, good.
Okay, so what's happening? Lenny's going away. Don't have to worry about him. Something that I've been doing behind the scenes that I've really not been telling anyone about because it's just sort of something that no one else needs to know about. It's something for me. I am slowly rearing and raising a small... I wish I knew the collective noun. Gaggle of magpies. I'm feeding them oats.
A flock? A murder. Oh, no, that's crows.
Yeah. You look it up.
A bakery of magpies.
There's no way.
It should be a bakery of magpies.
It should be a multitude of magpies, surely.
It's a bakery of magpies. Can it be?
Why would you... Oh, because of the pie part.
A 4 and 20 of magpies.
Yeah, okay.
A Mrs. Max of magpies.
Oh, my God. It's so much better. A gulp, a mischief of magpies.
Yes.
A tiding or a tribe of magpies.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, all great. Very, very,
very
good.
Good, yeah.
So, the current tribe of
it's
magpies.
It's not a Mrs. Max of magpies.
No, it's not. So 4 and 20 yeah, of magpies.
Good.
So I am slowly raising these magpies. I've gotten into a schedule now where I feed them every morning. I feed them oats. I feed them nuts.
Have you Googled all this stuff to make sure it's stuff you can feed magpies?
Because my nana has always fed magpies mincemeat. Like you feed them mincemeat. Awful for them.
Yeah, not
dead set awful bad. For them. Yep.
And bad for cows because magpies are out there in massive Mrs. Max of magpies trying to work out how to make mincemeat on their own.
Or just the cows are smelling them going...
Pecking them.
Why do you smell like that? That's a little suspicious. I've been looking into it and it's like you're meant to feed them like nuts and seeds and oats and stuff and grains. So I've been feeding them oats and they've been loving it. They keep coming up and I put some water out for them. They make so much noise in the morning, like a lot of noise at around 8, and that's when I go out and feed them. I'm not going to be there for a week. I'm so worried about what's going to happen to the neighborhood. Because if they're sitting out there waiting for oats and waiting for like nuts and seeds or whatever, they might sit out there like for ages.
Yeah.
Also, they're going to go leaderless. I've put in so much work to like kind of have them see me as some sort of like
king.
Yeah, magpie king.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only imagine it's going to go... They're going to stop relying on me after a week.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, we have to make adjustments in our lifestyle.
How many are there in this group?
Eight or nine.
They're going to break down the door.
Well, I hope not.
They're going to break down your balcony. I thought you were going to say like three.
No, there's heaps.
Nine of them.
Yeah, I have a photo.
They're not going to wait for you. They're going to hope that you're dead in there so they can peck at you. They're going to open the door, go inside. Like magpies are incredibly smart.
No, I know they're very smart. Okay, maybe because I leave tomorrow morning, maybe I try and do some sort of like closing remarks. Of like, guys, don't, please.
For the next 10 days, I shan't be here.
What if I fill it to the brim with oats and then you guys just sort of like figure out a way to like distribute it over the days?
So what if while I'm gone, magpies, you work out an economy. Yeah. You just work out your own economy to divvy up this bounty of oats
in a way. You said they were smart.
Yeah, they are smart. I don't know if economically smart. I don't know if economics is going to be something they get their heads around.
I believe in them. Honestly, you don't know these magpies like I do. I think they'll
have an
economy.
You said you had a photo. I do want to see.
Oh, you actually do want to see the photo?
I actually want to see the photo.
I had them when
because I'm picturing you currently like the weird pigeon lady from Home Alone.
Yeah.
With magpies.
No, so what I'm doing is essentially like I have a bit of a balcony. I'm going over and addressing them like I'm Darth Vader or something. Like I'm like looking out over my minions.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
And throwing them oats and being like, do my bidding. Yeah, here you go.
Oh, yeah, there they all are. Yep.
There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, 9. There you go.
It's, Yeah.
There's some. There they are. They're like discussing. They're like, this guy seems like pretty good.
Yeah.
In terms of a leader.
Hmm.
Not bad.
Maybe we get on board with
this
guy.
We could certainly outsmart him if it comes to it.
Worst case, he stops giving us oats, we break into his house and eat his body.
Worst and take
case.
His dog.
Worst case.
After the overwhelming success yesterday of the game, I'm back with another one.
You've got another game for us on today's podcast.
It's not Cover the Basics. I know that went off without a hitch, but it's actually a completely different one. Completely different game. It's actually after something you said yesterday. It's
like, okay.
You and I are very across movies.
Yeah.
We used to be, at least. This game...
As life has taken over more in general, me with the stepkids, you with just whatever, we've gotten a little less obsessed with movies.
I was going to say like, me less so much. Like,
yeah, you're still pretty...
I'm very obsessed with movies. This game is called... And Michael, again, you are...
Oh, Michael's you can here play for this one, is he? He's getting
your name's
his microphone.
Actually,
okay.
Your name's in the title.
A what?
Wow. This is called Mike or Take a Hike. And because everyone loved the intro...
Where are you?
There we go. Perfect. That was from Willy Wonka.
It is from Willy Wonka.
If you want something else.
Mike,
that's 11
are you?
From Stranger Things.
Enough.
Michael. What's that one from? It's from Space Jam. They're asking where Michael Jordan is. This one. That's from The Sopranos. Okay.
Very good.
Now that I've annoyed everyone into not wanting to play this game at all.
Yeah.
What the game is essentially, was a Michael in this movie or was there not a Michael in this movie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh. Great. So,
as in like Michael the actor or Michael the character?
Michael the actor. That's a very clear distinction to make. Not characters. And I've picked movies that you would not... It's not going to be like Michael Applebottom
restaurant attendee number 5. Yeah.
You would be on the poster.
You would know
the
Michael.
Because I would go as far as to say nearly every Hollywood movie ever has probably had a Michael in it.
Correct. Yeah. So, whilst researching for this game, A lot of Michaels.
Yeah,
in
a
the
lot
world.
Of Michaels.
We're so, quite prolific.
You are, or just
but
a
you're
very...
talking your Keatons, your Canes, your like whatever very Douglas. Famous. Yeah,
your Douglas's of course, yep. of course. Now, you get 3 seconds. I don't want you to think about it too long. I just want you to kind of go, oh, but you do have to lock in an answer.
Okay.
You can both have the same answer. It's on a race. You just have to lock in an answer quite quickly. All right?
Great.
Okay.
The first movie in Mike or Take a Hike. Is there a Michael in The Lion King? 3, 2, 1.
No.
Not that I can think of.
Very well done. There is no good. Mike in The Lion King.
Not that I can think of. Yeah. We're talking top billed actors, aren't we? Like, you know.
You would, again, you would know them in the movie. Like, sure. Like, oh, yeah, again, I'm not going to be like third rung. This was their starting role that no one's ever heard of. And it's, like you said, Michael Fassbender.
What's from Key and Peele? What's his name? It's Michael Keegan.
Key Michael Keegan.
Yeah, so kind of. But sort that's of. The live action Lion King, which I didn't assume you were talking about. I assumed you were talking about the cartoon one. Yeah.
The one that tripped me up was Jonathan Taylor Thomas. I thought his, for some reason, his name was
Michael.
Michael
Taylor Thomas.
Yeah.
It's a cool right. name, arguably.
Second movie on Michael Take a Hike. Toy Story 3. 1.
Josh.
2.
Yes, there yes. is. 3. Michael Ooh. Keaton's in it.
Very good. Very, very good. Very good. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Damn it, you're getting
He's
these.
Ken. Yeah. He was the first Ken.
He was the
Ryan
first
Gosling.
Ken. Before there was a Gosling Ken, there was a Keaton Ken. Number 3. Jurassic Park. 3, 2, 1.
Josh, no. Yes. Well, Michael yes. Crichton wrote Jurassic Park.
And a no from Michael and a yes from Josh. Well, the answer is no.
Yeah,
hey.
The guy wrote the book. Yeah. He's not in the movie.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Again, that's why
I just want to prove how nerdy I am.
That was the that. By the way, that example was why I had to lead into this so much. Of like, you will know who they are.
Yeah.
It's not Michael Crichton, the guy who wrote Jurassic Park.
Michael Crichton,
whatever. The last one. Very ready. Inception. 3.
Yes, two, yes, there is Michael Caine.
I was going to say we do need to probably let Michael answer before you go. Yes, it's Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
Yes, yeah. That means I think you went 4 for 4.
Yep.
I was so worried that this game wasn't going to work at all and it was going to be too hard. It turns out it's too easy. This game was nearly Tom B or not Tom B, and it was like, is there a Tom in this movie? But that was too hard. There's too many Toms. There's more Toms than there are Michaels.
So I won.
No, you lost because you said Michael Crichton was in Jurassic Park. So
damn it.
Somehow,
surprise, Michael
Bradbury of all of this.
Yeah, yeah.
Incredible stuff.
Michael's won by taking his time and also, I think, by being called Michael.
Well done,
we
Michael.
We do have a sixth sense. Thank you very much.
And in a way, we've all lost because we just heard this game. So
get ready for Tuesday when I think of a third very, very low effort game.
It is just about time for us to wrap up the podcast for another day. Michael, any general business?
Yeah, did you see Adelaide invented a new apple?
No.
What?
It's a new apple. It's red on the outside, red on the inside.
So it looks like a tomato.
It looks like a tomato. It really does, yeah.
New apple Adelaide. And I really am trying to justify
it's
this.
It's grown only in the Adelaide Hills.
And like most things that revolve around Adelaide, I simply look and go, why?
Yeah, I'll be honest. It looks sort of like it's filled with blood.
Yeah, like it could be a blood orange or now it's a blood apple, but it's called a red love apple.
Thank
red
you very
love
much.
Apple.
Thank you very much for your general business.
I really thought we were done discovering apples.
Appreciate the general business from Michael. Appreciate the apple discussion briefly. I do need you to listen to me for a second, though, because we are going to now announce something very exciting on this podcast, which is the National Dinosaur Museum is having a 31st birthday. It is happening on the 6th of April. They're going to be doing a very, very fun thing, though, that they want our podcast listeners to know about, which is an over-18s tour at night.
They've explained it to us. Yep. It sounds absolutely amazing. It sounds so cool.
There's so much stuff going on with this. So let me just explain what the whole concept is, though.
Yep.
It's the over-18 love and lust tour, because prehistoric love was anything but a dino snore, it says here.
Okay.
I love it. I love every way this is being described.
I also love that it's like the only thing that separates someone being inquisitive and a pervert is hundreds of millions of years. It's like, soup's on. They've all dead.
But
so
it's
who
not,
cares?
It's not just that. You can wander the galleries, the dinosaur garden, enjoy live music, games, and a glass of bubbly per ticket.
Ooh,
also, some huge prizes, lucky draws, big bottles of Moe. It's all going to be a big thing, and it's all happening on the 6th of April. And in fact, we are going to be giving away double passes to it.
We are so excited. We're going to try and come down there as well. This They've explained it to me, and I'm like, I need to see this, because if we're literally just doing dinosaur tours, but you're also allowed to drink...
Bring that on.
Sign me up the every day of the week.
National Dinosaur Museum's 31st birthday is happening. 6 p.m., 8 p.m. on April the 6th. You could be down there, $30 a ticket. Or check our socials today. You could be winning yourself a double pass.
Very exciting.
Ned?
Yep.
That brings us to a close for today.
It does. I guess that's about it.
Bye.
Well, I was going to say, no general business for me.
No, I have no general business.
No one asked me.
Do you have any general business?
Yeah, I do, actually. Pisses me off to no end that Tasmania was the Apple Isle, and now all of a sudden new apples are coming out of South Australia.
All right, bye, everyone.
See ya.
Well, that was the Ned and Josh podcast. Make sure to find the boys on socials. Just search at Ned and Josh.